Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Today,
here's John Williams.
The over-under is three. Three big thoughts. I want you to keep score at home. Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate.
Lord have mercy.
Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Thanks for tuning in. The number to call or text is 312-981-7200. I hope you knew that. Brenda and I were having breakfast this morning with some folks from Feed My Starving Children. They have a facility in Libertyville. We talked about doing more good things with that great organization, Feed My Starving Children. You'll hear about that down the road. But, boy, keep that in mind. Feed My Starving Children does just what that title says it does. What a great organization. I know a lot of you know about them. We're catching up, and we're going to help them down the road in Libertyville and Aurora, and they have three locations, I believe, in the metro, Schaumburg also. We're going to be in Libertyville doing this show tomorrow. Steve Bertrand's there at noon, and then Elif and I will join him at 1 until 3 o'clock for the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate. We'll be at Mickey Finn's at 345 North Milwaukee Avenue. That's the live broadcast. First, Steve with the business lunch, and then Steve will stick around and entertain you with me, and that'll be from 1 till 3. We'll do our Bright Side of Life segment out there and more. By the way, also in town is School of Rock, the stage show. I saw it. Some of you have already seen it. A good show based on the movie. The drummer in that movie, the little blonde-haired kid, lives in Libertyville now. Is it Libertyville that he lives in? And there is a School of Rock, if you will, there. And he is today a drum teacher just like the movie. He's going to join us at Mickey Finn's tomorrow as well. So it's the Hometown Voices Tour stop. Come on out and say hi to us. Noon to 3 tomorrow. Our tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hand. Senator Al Franken, the Democrat senator from Minnesota, 10 years ago was on a USO tour. I believe it was actually 11 years ago. I think it was 2006. He was on a USO tour stop as a private citizen, as a comedian, and he was emceeing and doing shtick up on the stage. There was another woman on stage with him, who is sort of the co-MC. They had a skit written out, and in the skit, he is supposed to kiss her. And backstage, he said, "We need to rehearse this." She said, "Don't worry, Al, this isn't SNL. We'll be fine out there." In fact, she thought, "I'll turn my head when he goes in for the kiss. That'll get big laughs." He insisted that they practice the kiss, and when they did, he stuck his tongue down her throat and pushed his head into her mouth, and she was totally offended by it. She was freaked out, but she didn't say anything. Then later on the flight home, while she's sleeping with the vest and a helmet on, she's in the back of, looks like some sort of military plane or whatever, there's Franken mugging for a camera, pretending to or squeezing her breasts. And so that story's come out today. And I said, I don't know that this is as bad a story as other people are making it out to be. For instance, when I first heard about the picture, I thought, oh, wow, this is, here we go again. Here we go again. And then I saw the picture and I thought, oh, this is just antics and it's not that big a deal. A friend of mine, you know, I just recently came to WGN Radio in the last half year or so doing this shift from WCCO in Minneapolis. I did a show up there. I know Senator Franken. We've interviewed him many, many times. And so a colleague of mine up there that I did the show with, a woman named Jordana Green, was texting back and forth with me today. And she literally was yelling into her phone when we were speaking, "Don't be that guy, John. Don't be that guy." Hi, Jordana. How are you?
Don't be that guy, John.
That's what she was
saying. You can't be that guy. You can't be him. Because I know you, and you respect women, so don't be that guy. That guy's a jerk. Nobody wants to be that guy.
Don't you think there's a continuum of offenses that we're discovering men commit, and some of them are bad remarks, and some of them are rape, and it's everything in between, and I think you can't lump all of them together?
Look, I totally agree with you. I understand that there are shades of gray here, but it all comes down to this. You know where the line is. And not just you, John. I'm talking to all dudes. You guys know where the line is. Stop crossing it. That's it. It's as easy as that. Transpose into that picture of him grabbing her breasts, not just your wife, but your daughter. And then take a long, hard look at that image in your head. How does that make you feel? It should make you feel sick in your stomach.
Maybe differently.
If it doesn't.
Yeah, sure.
You do not. You don't feel differently. You're nice.
Okay, here's the deal. So then I guess here's my problem with all of this, Jordana. And you and I aren't arguing yet. I mean, you hear me and I hear you. So then what do we do with that? Like, okay, all frank, and I didn't know that you were capable of that sort of ridiculous behavior, that bad behavior. I don't know what to do about that because I know what to do with Roy Moore. I know what to do with Harvey Weinstein. I know what to do with, you know, a lot of these guys. I don't know what to do with this one, Jordana. He's your senator.
He is our senator, and I like him. He's been on my show many times, on your show many times. He seems to be what I thought was a decent guy. Here's the deal, John. I think there's a difference if it was one-time antics, because we've all had that moment where we've said the wrong thing or done the wrong thing and then feel bad about it. We all make mistakes because we're human. If there's a pattern, and I don't even know if you know this because your show just went on the air, but in the last few minutes, there may be another allegation from another woman. I'm going into work to investigate that right now. But if there's a pattern, it's something different. And then if there's no learning, it's even worse. The senator came out and said, look, I'm sorry. I did the wrong thing. It was awful. It looks really bad.
Did you read his apology?
The first one was weak. The second one was better, John.
The one that I have here that's about seven paragraphs is a work of art. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's
the only thing you can say in this situation. It's
and
better than Louis C.K.'s, which was flawed in many ways. This is this is what you have to say if you're Al Franken. And by the way, I'm still not sure on the continuum of 1 to 10 or whatever. I'm still not sure where to... God, if Griffin is listening to this, he's just wincing at it. But I'm trying to not be two things. One is reactionary, and the other one is my age. So I'm struggling here, Jordana. But I really think there's this danger of saying, aha, another one, aha, another one. And if we mine every 60-year-old, how old is Al Franken? He's 60, isn't he? If we mine every 60-year-old American male's past, I'm curious as to what we're going to find and what we should do about it. And I think that second question is really important. I think I know maybe the answer to the first. I'm not sure about the answer to the second.
We have to look for patterns, John. If it's a pattern, that's problematic. If it was a one-time deal, he makes a great apology like he did, and then we probably move on. Yet, he now has to become an advocate even more so for women. He has to raise awareness about this. He has to call out bad behavior when he sees it.
He said, the first thing I want to do is apologize to Leanne, that's the woman, to everyone else who is part of that tour, to everyone who has worked with me, to everyone I represent, to everyone who counts to me to be an ally and supporter and champion of women. There's more I want to say, but the first and most important thing, and if it's the only thing you care to hear, that's fine, is I'm sorry. But I want to say something else, too. Over the last few months, all of us, including and especially men who respect women, have been forced to take a good, hard look at our own actions and think, perhaps shamefully, for the first time about how those actions have affected women. For instance, that picture. I don't know what was in my head when I took that picture, and it doesn't matter. Well, I know exactly what was in his head. He thought it was funny. It's a lark. He's a comedian. She's sleeping. It's the equivalent of drawing a mustache on somebody when they're out. You just do it because it's funny. But you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't have done it then. But I understand the context. That's me. He continues, there's no excuse. I look at it now and feel disgusted with myself. It isn't funny. I just want to read this last part, Jordana. He said, coming from the world of comedy, I've told and written a lot of jokes that I once thought were funny, but later came to realize were just plain offensive. But the intentions behind my actions aren't the point at all. It's the impact these jokes had on others that matter. And while I don't remember the rehearsal for the skit as Leanne does, I understand why we need to listen and to believe women's experiences. I'm asking that an ethics investigation be undertaken, and I will gladly cooperate. And lastly, he says, and the truth is, what people think of me in light of this is far less important than what people think of women who continue to come forward to tell their stories. Boy, I hope Roy Moore is listening to that. They deserve to be heard and believed, as they deserve to know that I am their ally and supporter.
Agreed. I think it was a beautiful statement, and he's spot on.
A quick call for Jordana. You got 1 minute, Jordana?
Yeah.
Felicia, you're on WGN. Hi, what did you want to say? Hi, Felicia. Are you there? Felicia's gone. She said, I agree with Jordana. Huh, funny how we weren't able to get that call. Let's go to let's go to Christy. Hey, Christy, this is John. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm a long-term listener. I listened to you before you moved up to Minnesota. I got to tell you, I am so sad and surprised by your muted response to this, as if you're saying, because of my age, I've learned, and it's okay to devalue women and to devalue their personal space. And that's what you're attributing your muted response to. I think unconsciously you need to face the fact that you that you can understand how a man could treat a woman that way. And that's why you don't want to come down as hard on him as you should. So again, close your eyes and imagine that this is your 15-year-old daughter, your 25-year-old daughter. How would you react to a man doing this to her? So yeah. I got to tell you, I'm sad that this is where you are, because I thought you were more in touch with just the ethics and the sense of right and wrong. This is glaring. This is right in your face, and you won't call it what it is.
I think you're a terrific call, and I think you're absolutely right in that if you are a white male living on this earth in the United States over the last 57 years, the culture in which you grew up with thought that was funny for a lot of that time, that was okay, that was funny. There's Al Franken doing it for a camera, for crying out loud. I would distinguish between the kiss he gave the woman backstage and the picture. I would completely distinguish between the two. You know I don't endorse it, and if you care, I've never done something like that, but I also am not shocked to find out that something like this is on Al Franken's resume.
But you're also not disgusted by it. You're giving them a pass, and you're attributing it to the generation.
That's
the part that's sad about it. You need to look. You need to deculturalize yourself. You need to get in touch with what's right, what should have been right 50 years ago but wasn't. You've got to get in touch with that.
I think that's a terrific call. Boy, I'm really glad you're listening. Thanks for calling, Christy.
Sure.
Have a good day. How about that, Jordana?
I love Christy. I think she's spot on. And, John, then you say, what do we do with this? It's not even about Al Franken anymore or idiots like Roy Moore. It's about our culture. It's about what we're teaching our sons. It's about the men that look at this and be like, oh, I didn't realize that was wrong. Well, okay. It's not okay. It is not okay that you didn't realize that was wrong, but now you know. If you didn't know yesterday where the line was, today you know.
Today you know.
Okay, but along those lines then, I think that, and to defend John a little bit, I think...
Wow, this will be a first. Go ahead, Steve.
You're right. Never mind.
All the time in the world.
Just forget it. Never mind.
Actually, let's do this.
No, I think we need to react differently to an action today than we do to revelation of an action 20 years ago or 40 years ago.
Well, be careful, Steve, because in my defense, you're sounding like Roy Moore's attorney now, and I don't like that.
I don't mean to be, but I'm just saying that the sensitivity and what's acceptable today is much different than what was 20, 40, 60, 80 years ago.
I'm going to do this. Jordana Green is in Minnesota. If you're ever driving through that state or you're in northwestern Wisconsin, listen to WCCO weekdays from 3 to 7. I got to go, Jordana.
We miss you, John. Have a great show.
We have a virtual kettle online for the Salvation Army. It's on my Facebook page. If you go there now, you'll see towards the top. It's the top or second to top post on my Facebook page. I'm King John. And there's a link to the Salvation Army virtual kettle. I want to get to $1,000 by Friday. Our total goal is $10,000. But we told you that you could also just text WGN Radio to 41444. And a friend of mine, Ron Cox, called me. He actually texted me. And he said what? Hi, Ron. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I remember.
You just want to tell everybody that I'm technically challenged, right? Or I'm old school.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, Ron, the first time I said something like this on the radio, I thought, I don't know what I just said, and I'm telling people to do it. when we say text WGN Radio to 41444 and you can make a donation, I think a lot of people are like, what? What?
Yeah.
You got your phone in front of you? You got your phone?
Well, I'm talking on it right now.
Well, you know, and I'm not even going to try and do this, Ron, but you could talk to me on that phone and go through the texting process at the same time, but I'm not even going to bother you with that. So here's a, just, but hear me out, okay, Ron?
Okay.
I'll do it on my phone, and I want you to try and remember this.
All right.
Have Sue remember this. You can't remember anything either. Okay, you ready?
Well, I know that. Yes. Okay.
Okay, so when you go to text a message in the upper right-hand corner, at least on an iPhone, there's a little like pen and paper thing that initiates a text, so you hit that button.
Correct.
And then the screen will come up, new message, and it'll say two at the top, okay, like you're going to type in John Williams or my phone number or Sue, whoever you're going to text.
Yeah.
And if you've done that before, it'll pre-populate, it'll all just pop up, and then you just hit enter, right? But anyway, there... I want you to text.
I'm ready to write it down, John.
WG. No, you text WG. Okay.
Okay.
You type in. Hush. You type in 41444. And you go, wait a minute, John, that's only a 5-digit phone number. How can that be? Don't worry about it. You text that. That's the number I want you to text. That's your, you're going, it's like you're sending, you're calling somebody, but you, the phone number is only 5 digits, 41444.
All and, right. So I don't put in WGN radio.
Not yet.
Up there.
No, because okay. First you have to, like, when you call somebody, first you dial a phone number. When you text somebody, you text to their number or their name, right. But it's always a phone number. So the phone number, if you will, is 41444, 41444, right. 41 and then 3 4s. And okay. Then there's that little text, and so then you're done. You hit return, and then you'll get that little message box on the bottom. It says text me, and you hit that. Now, the message you're going to send, you're not going to say, hey, John, how are you? I'd like to give to the Salvation Army. Now you just type in WGN radio, no space, and now hit send, okay?
Okay.
When you do that, you will get... a return message that will say complete. Well, let's see what happens.
You want me to do this, right?
Because I just did it wrong. Okay, wait. 41444. Right. I do hit return.
Right.
Then I text the word WGN radio. What happened was it wants to put a space there, but I don't want it to. So I do one word. And then what happens? Okay, then when you do that, boom, you get a bounce back. And it says, thanks for your pledge to Salvation Army Metro. Complete your gift here. And then you just hit that little button. It says right here, it's a hyperlink. It's highlighted in blue. And when you hit that, it'll take you to a place where you enter your credit card number and how much you want to give. From that point, it's very simple. But I think the confusing part is out of the gate for people. They go, wait, that's not a phone number. Text WGN radio 241444. So the phone number, the first thing you do is enter 41444, and then the message is no space, WGN radio. I want you to call me back and tell me how it went.
I will.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
I'll try it right now.
That's my
thank
friend.
You, John.
Hurry, quick while you've got it fresh in your mind. That's how you do that. I hope you do that. Lots of texts about our conversation about Al Franken. If you're just joining us, Al Franken is now being accused of having made an inappropriate sexual advance against a woman's best intentions backstage at a USO tour. Lots of comments about that. Also, in the first half hour, I was walking a friend. Steve, I don't know if you were able to listen. I was walking a friend through how to text WGN radio to 41444 in order to make a donation to my virtual kettle for the Salvation Army. It took more time than I thought it was going to because I started to stumble with the mechanics of it. And my friend Ron didn't exactly understand the mechanics of it to begin with. I said, oh, I can walk you through that. It'll be helpful to the other people listening. So I started to tell him how to do it. And then I screwed it up. But when you hear text WGN radio to 41444, I think some of you say, what? But again, I kind of fumbled the ball when we were talking about it. And during the news, that guy's wife Ron's wife, Sue, sends me a text, and she said, well, that went well.
I was listening to the first 20 minutes of it, and then I kind of went away.
I said, when you consider the two people involved in that conversation, I felt it was seamless. However halting and sort of badly done it was over the course of the 5 minutes, I think we got Ron to make the donation. Hey, Ron, are you there?
It was a success. I just wanted to call and let you know.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise,
but
praise the Lord.
When you put the number in, 41444,
yeah,
it comes up 414-44.
It does. So you think it would be better if we said 41444?
Well, if people really want to know, because I kept trying to put in the number and it kept coming up with the dash in there.
Yeah, that's
so
all right.
I finally said fine, and yes, I was able to do it.
Right.
So. And thank you very much for your assistance.
And then it takes you to that page, and then you can write in the amount, or it's got some that are suggestions, 25, 100, 250,
correct.
5, I think might be, whatever. And you can do it anonymously, or you can put your name on it, and then you type in your credit card number, and then bink, and then it sends you a confirmation, too. So it's all good.
Yes, it's all done. So I just wanted to let you know that.
All right, Ron Cox has made a donation to the Salvation Army Virtual Kettle. What a good guy you are, Ron. I will see you soon, my friend.
I hope so.
Are you coming to our Thomas Jefferson show or our Meriwether Lewis show, by the way?
On the 2nd, yes, I am.
December 2nd. Which one are you going to go to, do you know?
The Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah. You haven't seen the Meriwether Lewis show, have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you got to come to that one sometime. It's tough because I don't think anybody should go to both shows. I don't even think I should. But and you
it
hate,
would be kind of difficult.
You hate to say no to Jefferson, but someday make it a point to do to take in our Meriwether Lewis show too. Okay,
I will, absolutely.
All right, my friend. Thank you, Ron.
All right, thank you.
His name is Ron Cox, and now he too knows how to text WGN Radio to 41444, or do you say 41444? Either way, that's how that works. Sarah Sanders is addressing the White House press briefing today, Steve. Am I correct about that? That wouldn't make it especially unusual or noteworthy. Is it today Sarah Sanders
I
is doing?
I think she's scheduled. I know Roy Moore scheduled it to speak, but not for some time yet.
He was supposed to speak earlier.
Well, he's in a list. There's a long list of people.
At this event?
Right.
So, and it's a sort of a convention of pastors or something like that? It's a religious
yes.
convention?
Yes, yes.
So he's going to say, do we expect him to bow out gracefully, or is he going to continue to fight the good fight?
I don't expect him to withdraw from the race at this event, no.
Yeah, okay. Watching the scroll of donors, a lot of anonymous donors to our virtual kettle for the Salvation Army. Thank you all for that. We have a $10,000 goal. Elif, have you been able to look up what the total is? Hey, Elif, what's the total on our Salvation Army kettle?
Thank you, John. In your pursuit to earn the Salvation Army $10,000.
Back it up. Start it again. Hey, Elif, how much money do we have in the Salvation Army virtual kettle?
Thank you, John. In your pursuit to earn the Salvation Army $10,000, you have so far earned $535 in donations. That represents 5% of your goal.
All right. Thanks. We're at 5%. Well, that's better than the 1%, 2%, and 3% we were at during yesterday's show. The texts that are coming in about our first half hour include this. We're talking about Al Franken. He was posing for a photo where he was pretending to or squeezing the breasts of a woman who was sleeping on an airplane.
It looks like he was making pretty contact there, don't you think? I mean,
I'm not going to answer that question because I don't think it matters. And then he also was accused of in a backstage rehearsal where they were supposed to kiss on stage. He said, we should rehearse the kiss. The woman said, I don't want to rehearse the kiss. He insisted, pushed her head towards his mouth, stuck his tongue down her throat, and gave her a kiss that she did not want at all. So that's come out today. And we've had a conversation about what box to put all of that in. John, what Franken did was not funny, but he wasn't trying to hide what he was doing. He's looking dead on at the photographer, clowning around in bad taste. John, I appreciate Senator Franken's letter on Facebook. He posted a considerable apology. Not that more words make it better, but he went on at some length to describe how bad he feels about it, how unintended that was, and and that he thinks that it's not about him. It's about what we do with women who come forward. He was saying that we shouldn't criticize or humiliate them any further. John, it's funny to grope sleeping women. When is enough enough? Another texter says, I don't think the guest would be so forgiving. That was our colleague we had on the air a moment ago. If Franken was a Republican, I don't see politics in this too much, although my first thought was this is some sort of payback, but it wasn't the Republicans that were throwing Franken under the bus. John, I'm with you. He's a comedian, and I'm sorry. Why speak up now? And that's from a female. Dear John, as a mother of sons, what I have to remind them when men say it was a joke, it's only funny to you. John, men need to just stop, period. From 847, it's been funny for men for the last 50 years, but not women. This one from 773 says, John, did you read that woman's statement? You said that she did not say anything after the kiss. Well, she did, in no uncertain terms, to Franken. The photo was part of the payback. This one says, come on, John, throw Al under the bus. Reading his statement is what he wants you to do. He should call the woman and apologize directly and not through the media. And finally, from 630, I agree 100%, John. I'm a woman, and you have to look at this in the context in which it happened. I think that was the point Steve was trying to make earlier. And be careful if you try and make that, because...
What was the point? I'm sorry.
That you have to judge these things in the context in which they happened or in the time frame in which they happened.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that if Al Franken did that on an airplane today, I think you look at it completely. You look at all of it negatively. Don't misunderstand me.
Sure, sure.
But we are in a very different climate today than we were in that was 10 years ago.
And the climate today, 11. And the climate today is better than it was then.
Yeah.
More enlightened, if you will.
Right.
And
he shouldn't have done it then. I mean, you know, he's still even he was more than just a comedian then. He was, I think, probably by at that time,
not
thinking
a United
about
States.
Running for not a senator, but thinking of running. And he was the morning voice of that liberal radio network, that Air America or something.
That's
like that.
Right.
Remember that?
That's right. That's right. He was.
Yeah. So clearly he thought it was being funny because he was cheesing for the camera
as he did it. Boy, now you wouldn't. Boy, now you, and if you would, I'm telling you, don't have the thought, don't entertain the notion, do not do that.
And the photographer gave the pictures, distributed the pictures, I guess, to people on the trip. That's how she had one.
Oh.
So yeah. The photographer didn't think
of
it.
Can you imagine? And then everybody's got that picture, and you don't, and they all don't know what else you went through. What do you do with that? And then imagine what that's like if you're a woman in that situation. And 11 years ago sounds like 1,000 years ago, doesn't it? But whenever you say, hey, everybody, what do you say? Hey, everybody, I just, or do you, who do you tell that to? He kissed me and I didn't want to be kissed. What kind of alarm bells would that have set off? What would, you know, what action would have followed that? I can't imagine any, except people would have looked at you like, okay, sorry, what am I supposed to do about it? I'm sure it would have been the reaction then. It's 151 on GM.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Already had one.
Here's John Williams.
Remember, the over-under today is 3. It's 207. This is John. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio.
Lord have mercy.
Tomorrow we'll be at Mickey Finn's. Where are you going to be this time? In Libertyville, 345 North Milwaukee Avenue. We'll see you tomorrow from noon to 3. Yeah, Steve Bertrand does his noontime show. And he'll stick around with me and with Elif, and we'll entertain or inform or whatever it is we do for you until 3. Mickey Finn's, we do the show in Libertyville tomorrow as part of the Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented to you by our friends at Allstate. I think we're giving away some Baker Square pies. Steve, if there was 100 foods on earth and one of them was a French silk pie, would a French silk pie from Baker Square be on your list of the 100?
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes, but you don't mean that. Like, what's your favorite pie?
The one in front of me.
You're not a pie guy, are you?
I'm a pudding pie guy, like a vanilla pudding. Is that such a thing?
No.
Never?
No,
I think I used to have that when I was
How about
a kid.
An apple pie? Can we get you an apple pie?
Yeah, blueberry pie. I'm not going to have a rhubarb pie.
I do not like rhubarb pies. Hi, Phil Vitale.
Hi there.
Restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune.
Who likes apple pie?
You know, what do you think about that? Like, do critics of your stature ever go to Olive Garden, like that woman in North Dakota did, or Iowa, or
right.
or Baker Square?
I have had more than my share of French silk pie over the years. I will say that. I do like that pie. I don't think I've ever sat down at a Baker Square, and I've certainly never sat down at a at an Olive Garden. I avoid chains for one very large reason. Whatever I say, positive or negative, about a restaurant like that is going to be extrapolated over every one of their locations. And even if they only have five locations, that's kind of tough.
Yeah, what but if it's I still, say, it'd still be fun to watch you eat at an Olive Garden.
What do you mean by that, Steve?
I think you should have a remote. Watch Phil Vitale eat at an Olive Garden.
Right, and watch me spit things in my napkin, you mean, or make faces.
Yeah, but what if it was
good?
I'd
be polite. It would
but
be
maybe, maybe the spaghetti is good there.
Exactly. It would be fine. But the worst thing you'd probably think is that this is kind of not exactly, you know, maybe the spaghetti's overcooked. Or maybe it's not. And that's the thing. I don't know. But if I say it is, then I've said every Olive Garden in the world.
So then they go
spaghetti.
To the Olive Garden in Poughkeepsie. It's not so good. And they go, wow, Phil Vitale doesn't know what
right.
he's talking about.
Or they're the one in Poughkeepsie is hanging a big sign saying
Phil Vitale raves.
Four stars from this idiot in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I think it would also be hard to not be a little condescending when you were doing that. I don't know how you would, you know.
Well, yeah, there's that. Because as I try to explain to people who ask me to go to places like this, say, look, put this in perspective. Alinea gets 4 stars from me. That's my top rating. 4.
How many restaurants get a 4-star rating from you?
Maybe 9 right now.
And how many really even have a 3-star rating? Maybe not
right.
that many.
So where do you think your little place is going to wind up on that spectrum?
Even if it's a really good Olive Garden.
Right, right.
It wouldn't be fair to the others if you put them in the same camp.
Right. It's got to fit in that sliding scale. And so you realize that simply me not saying bad things about you might be as good as it gets. The chances of getting a star are pretty remote. And,
you know where they really run into that is Dancing with the Stars. Do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
My wife is addicted to Dancing with the Stars.
It's one of America's great things, really. Mm-hmm. If you say, what are things America does real well? I go, well, we had an awesome army. And I would put Dancing with the mm-hmm. Stars in there. French silk pie, army, and... The thing with Dancing with the Stars is they'll take a dancer for whom the expectations are very high because they're very good. They're very mm-hmm. talented. And then they'll just kill it, and they'll give them 7s and 8s. Then, you know, Florence Henderson gets up there, mm-hmm. and she's not that good.
Right.
But she does as well as she can, and they give right. her 7s or 8s.
Right. Well, she had Wessonality, so and that had to factor into their decision.
And there's such a disparity between the two. And you go, or maybe she gets a 7 and the other guy gets an 8. And I'm going, mm-hmm. you're telling me that that was only one notch better than Floho? No way. Mm-hmm. It was much better, but you're stuck in that 7 to 8 place.
Exactly. I mean, when you look at, I joke, I saw one performance on Dancing with the Stars that was so bad, they didn't even get a standing ovation.
That's the kind of that.
3 people sat That's in their seats that didn't move.
But just to stay on the fast chain restaurants, what do you call that? Fast serve? It's not fast food.
They prefer quick serve now.
Quick serve.
It is fast food, but they don't like that word.
Well, it's not McDonald's. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us love Portillo's. Mm-hmm. And here again, I would like to say, well, what would Phil Vitale say about this? I think they have the best burgers in town. I think their chicken chop salad is one of God's great creations. Blah, 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 blah.
Right. I would say that service is terrific there, particularly if you're getting anything to go.
Yeah.
I mean, high school graduation time, people just coming up just to get their huge boxes of Italian beef and whatever else they bought, and they have a special line for them to go in there. They load the thing in the car for you, and you can't tip these people. You cannot tip them.
I didn't know that.
They won't do it. They smile.
Good for them.
All the rest of it, but and then if you've ever gone through a drive-in line
which
at
is a
Portillo's,
it's a science there.
You are ready to hand them the keys to the world. You say,
no.
You know what? I want you to run everything.
No.
This is the best drive-through experience in my life.
The last time I was there, I was at the one in, is it Plainfield or Shorewood? But it's the west side of Joliet. And I actually asked the young person who came to my window if they would do health care for the United States of America.
Right.
I just said, you know, this was so impressive what you've done for me, mm-hmm. and that was get me a chopped salad. I'm now willing to turn over the
right.
ACA keys to you.
Right, because the prices would be fair, the delivery would be good, and there would be no shortage of napkins.
Tell me about your son's wedding on the 11th of November.
It was so much fun. I was
In Mexico,
in an all-inclusive resort, which is kind of dangerous.
Because, how many people were there?
60 in our group.
Why is it dangerous?
Because the bars don't close. you can find yourself dancing at 1 o'clock in the morning, and there's still an open bar somewhere.
You told us something off the air last week, mm-hmm. before you went out there, that we were not right. going to say on the air. And that was that you, did you do the ceremony?
I did the opening remarks.
You did the
I was the one standing at the front as the mothers and the bride and groom were ushered in.
Okay, so not everybody has opening remarks from the father of the groom.
Right.
At the wedding, the ceremony itself. Mm-hmm. Was this on the beach or in a building?
It was on the beach.
Yeah, in Mexico. Nice.
Pretty dicey with the wind and threatened rain, but not a drop.
Okay,
not
that's all good. So then tell me what you did.
And I stood there with my prayer book, and I looked out on the audience, some of whom were already weepy because they've seen the moms and all the rest of it, and I delivered the Peter Cook speech from the wedding in Princess Bride.
Which goes?
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today.
And on and on. How'd that go?
I let the first word hang there, and everybody cracked up. It worked. I'd asked my son. This was his idea.
I was worried for you.
I asked him, is everybody going to get this? He said, we only invited people who would get this. So
they've come all the way to Mexico. Exactly. They better get us.
So on the first word, marriage, it was really funny. It kind of broke the whole weepy thing, which, of course, returned during the ring ceremony. I'm saying wings now, guys. And, it sort of worked.
It worked.
And then I had my little thing, and then I went and sat down, and then I was out of it.
Did you break character at all? Did you do the whole thing like that?
Oh, I did the whole thing like that.
So give me a line or two of it.
Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream, and love, pure love, true love, will follow you forever and ever. And then my last line was, seriously, who gives away this bride? And her father, a preacher, is along with this and said, you know, my family and I do. And then I'm out of there. And
did he have the use of ours in his?
Yes, he was able to speak. Yes, he was.
Wow. See, so I think some people are listening and they love that. Mm-hmm. And some people are making a squishy face out there right now. Yeah.
And I will only say the bride and groom asked me to do this gave me the script.
I was just worried, though, because you knew that and they knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And while you were all banking that people will get it, they don't know that this is coming. So they may. I thought that on the word of marriage,
mm-hmm.
some of them are going to go, oh, please, are you kidding me? Give these kids a break. This isn't about you, Phil.
I suppose they might have been. But by the end of it,
they got it.
If that was their first, right. The bride's uncle came up and said, that was a really good job. So nobody hates me.
The Pump Room. Talk to me about your review of the...
The announcement that it has returned as Booth 1.
Yeah.
They're calling it that now. And the Melman people, Let Us Entertain You Enterprises, is running it once again. They ran that room for 22 years. And now they changed the name of they don't own the hotel. The hotel name has changed. Now it's called the Ambassador Chicago Hotel. It used to be way, way, way back was the Ambassador East.
Well, did the Pump Room go away?
No. When Ian Schrager from New York bought the whole property, he changed the hotel name to the Public Hotel, and he called the restaurant the Pump Room. And he left it that way. He changed the look and changed the menu and all the rest of it. And then the money people behind the hotel didn't want Ian around anymore. So there was kind of that. And Rich Melman was brought in to, you know, there's the contract player to run this whole thing. And there's some confusion as to whether you're allowed to call it the Pump Room.
Right. Oh, really? No kidding.
Who's allowed to say that?
Well, you and I can call it whatever we want,
right? We can call it whatever we want.
But can they advertise it as that?
They cannot.
So what do they call it then?
Booth 1.
which, of course, is the famous booth at the Pump Room.
In the Pump Room. So everybody gets it, but they're not exactly using the word, the term, the Pump Room.
That's like saying if we are not a licensed MLB partner, we can't do a Cubs ticket promotion on WGN Radio anymore.
Right.
But we can say we've got tickets to the game. Or we've got, I think we can say we've got tickets to the game on the north side, but we can't say.
Wow.
No kidding. You know, so I think I can even say, I don't know, Steve, can I say this? I can say, hey, we've got tickets to the game today on the north side. You'll see the Ivy, the scoreboard, and the big game. I can do all of that.
Right.
I just can't say Cubs or Wrigley Field or Major League Baseball.
I think a similar thing is in place for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
You
exactly.
You see the big Sunday game. You can't be a wing stop place and say, "Hey, come to our Super Bowl party." You know, the cease and desist letter will be.
By the way, not too long ago when you were sitting here, I said you got to do a review of Wingstop because mm-hmm. Wingstop opened on North Halsted, not too far from me. And mm-hmm. previously, I had been a fan of Wingstop, so I then went to the Wingstop there that I was telling you about. You were so nice; you actually wrote Wingstop on a piece of paper mm-hmm. when I was telling you to go to Wingstop, and I felt bad for you because I thought, Phil, I'm just kidding. It's just a Wingstop. It's good wings. Anyway, I went to the Wingstop on North Halsted.
Uh-oh.
Afterwards, and it wasn't that good.
You're only as good as your last wing.
It's kind of it. I mean, mm-hmm. if all you've got is wings, you better nail it.
You better keep it consistent because it's wings. John Williams only wings twice.
You got to stop that.
And
Phil.
Then you're done.
Phil, you got to stop
I can't
that.
Do ours right now. I'm sorry.
Are you serious, Elif? Are you saying that? By the way, Wingstop is actually very, very good. She said Wingstop is our new sponsor, and I need to stop saying that.
I see.
Wingstop.
All right. So let's hear it for Wingstop.
Here is the thing that I just needed to be ready for, and that was that when you get there, they're not all sitting in a bucket ready to just be tossed in like Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Ah.
So they doesn't take long. But they cook them and then present them to you. So you best to call ahead or order ahead with an app. But
or be patient.
But they're hot and mm-hmm. they are fresh.
Oh, that's the way you want them. That's the way you want them.
So back to the Pump Room. Is the food good? Is it as well as you remember it?
Opens tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's the big. And what kind of fare are they famous for?
Well, the old Pump Room was, you know, real formal and, you know, Dover sole and that sort of thing. And I think the menu will include some things like that. And they're going to be playing around with classic recipes that definitely they're definitely going for a younger demographic now. The neighborhood has changed. The old Pump Room habitués are still maybe some of them around, but not too many of them around. So this is
worried for them.
No. No, I think that's. I think that location right now is really hot, and I think they'll. The last iteration did fine, as far as I can tell, and you know there are all sorts of people that will grant Rich Millman his premise.
Yeah, no kidding.
On the beginning,
I'd give him a turn or two. It's 2:21 on WGN. Phil Vitale from the Chicago Tribune's in our studio, the restaurant critic and famed actor, who's
available for weddings.
So. I also wanted you to comment on how familiar are you with the idea? We'll pause and get your answer on the other side. But restaurants that aren't brick and mortar but exist on websites, you order from them. They deliver their food. You can't go there because they don't have a place. So where a restaurant might have a delivery service, mm-hmm. there are now restaurants which are only on the internet. And it'll look, they're not kidding anybody. I mean, it's not like they're pretending to be a brick and mortar,
right.
But like a brick and mortar restaurant, you'll go online, you'll see menus and specials and everything. It'll have everything except pictures of the dining room because they don't have one.
They're just a commercial kitchen with a truck.
Exactly.
Wow.
And I'm wondering what you think about that in a minute. Phil Vitale is the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. All right, I got three quick things to power through with you. You
All
ready,
right.
Phil?
One, two, to go.
A texter says, what's the status of Ed DeBevix?
Ed DeBevix closed because the property was sold so someone can put something with multiple floors above it. So they're gone. But the owners never ruled out the possibility of reopening in another location. There were rumors for a while they were scouting out places to maybe in Streeterville neighborhood, but I've heard nothing since. But so maybe.
You did not write, but yesterday one of your colleagues did, Grace Wong, who I recently met. Turkey Day away from home at 20-plus local restaurants. So this is the food and dining section from yesterday's Chicago Tribune. Mm-hmm. 20 restaurants open for Thanksgiving dinner. A quick summary of all of them, and that's in the Chicago Tribune yesterday. One of them is River Roast. River Roast is the location that we had my son's wedding and reception last weekend.
Oh, nice.
While you were in Mexico saying marriage, mm-hmm. we were doing a more traditional do at River Roast. The food there, the hors d'oeuvres, the beverage, the service, and the room were all A+. We could not have been happier.
No, it's a nice property.
Yeah. What else do you like in this list of 20?
I didn't look very carefully because I always do my own eating, but I always I think Big Jones, which is one of the first ones on the list. He just does a great job. Paul Feuerbach does just one of the maybe underappreciated chefs we have in Chicago. And the idea of sitting down to a multi-course meal with
Southern
with
family
him at the
style,
helm.
Yeah,
right. I mean, his Southern cooking is more than just good Southern cooking. There's like scholarship behind it. He digs up finds these old books that are cookbooks that are more than 100 years old, and he really gets into the history of it. And he does a great job. And our online version, since you don't have yesterday's paper necessarily at home now. We have it online, chicagotribune.com/dining, and you'll find that. And that list's actually a little longer because we've had time to update it for the places that showed up after our print deadline.
And it's nice because some places on here you might expect, like maybe River Roast, Morton's, mm-hmm. the steakhouse is there. I like Big Jones' inclusion. Texas de Brazil has added roast turkey and gravy, sweet potato casserole, and cranberry sauce to its menu for Thanksgiving. But that's, you think of that as a Brazilian steakhouse. It is.
Right.
It's on East Illinois, but that made the list as well. Little Goat Diner and more.
Yeah.
Nice list. Okay, that's in yesterday's Tribune. If you don't have it laying around, chicagotribune.com/dining. Are you interested in ordering from? I wonder if you would review these virtual restaurants that only deliver.
You were telling me this just before the break, and this is the first time I'm hearing about it, to be honest with you.
All right.
But it sounds intriguing. I mean, theoretically, they're preparing in a commercial kitchen with lots of space, and they can make to-order dishes, probably with a more expanded menu.
You're supposed to be outraged. Where's the ambiance? Where's the fine china? Where's the mm-hmm. restaurant? You're a restaurant critic.
Oh, sure.
This
That's
is restaurants
the way
without
I like
restaurants.
To eat, but yeah. There's sometimes, and it's just you and a pair of sweatpants, and you're hungry. And if you're not going to order a pizza, maybe you have a chance to get a three-course meal, and they'll send it your way.
But and maybe you don't care because there's nothing to compare it to, but don't you think the food suffers by delivery in a styrofoam container, blah, blah, blah?
Absolutely. There's always a trade-off. And if the food is not brought to you directly from the kitchen, there's going to be a trade-off. There's a trade-off with delivery pizza. It's never quite as good as I want it to be.
Yeah. All right. Read Phil Vitale online at thechicagotribune.com. That's chicagotribune.com/dining. You can also find him in the print editions on Wednesdays, right?
Every Wednesday.
Although you weren't there this Wednesday.
No, I was saying Mowage. And we won't be here next Wednesday because next Wednesday is the day before Thanksgiving, and that's too late to give anybody advice. So the food and dining section moves to this Sunday. So we'll be in the paper on Sunday, the one time a year we show up on Sunday.
It's good to know. Thanks for stopping by, Phil.
My pleasure.
There is a story today. Leonardo da Vinci painting sells for $450.3 million, shattering auction highs. After 19 minutes of dueling with four bidders on the telephone and one in the room, da Vinci's Salvatore Mundi sold Wednesday for $450.3 million with fees. Don't you hate those? Shattering the high for any work of art sold at auction. Picasso's Women of Algiers fetched $179 million at Christie's in May of 2015. The buyer was not immediately disclosed. How can we not know who the buyer is? You know who I thought of when I saw this story today was Walter Isaacson, because, Steve, you and I both have his book, right?
Yeah, I've been reading it.
I have, too.
You think he bought it?
Well, let's ask him. Oh, he's on line 7.
That whole Einstein money's paying off.
Walter, I didn't know that writing bestsellers was that profitable. My goodness, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Boy, I wish I could have a fraction of what it went for. Although I did write a whole section in the book on Salvador Mundi, not knowing it was going to go on sale like this, because it's a truly emotional and very profound painting, and I like it very much. I just don't have $400 million.
And if you did, so describe it to us. Tell us what the picture looks like, the
painting.
Well,
it's Salvador Mundi as Christ as Savior of the World, and it is staring, Christ is staring directly at us. But because of the way Leonardo can make emotion so mysterious, every time you look at it, it changes a bit. And it sometimes looks like Jesus is staring beyond us, or into the distance. And his blessing hand is very sharp, almost unlike Leonardo, who does blurred lines, and yet its sharpness makes it look like it's coming out of the panel and actually almost touching us and blessing us. And Jesus is holding an orb, a crystal orb, that's supposed to represent the world. And oddly, the orb doesn't diffract his robes. You know, like a lens or a goblet of water, something behind it looks all diffracted. It's perfectly clear and doesn't diffract, which to me is Leonardo da Vinci imparting a miraculous quality to Salvador Mundi.
Do you think when somebody like you analyzes a painting like this, you see these things in there and you have these attendant feelings that go with them, and it's not just this, you did the same thing for The Last Supper and Mona Lisa, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that it was Da Vinci's intent? Was he consciously making the maneuvers with the brush that you point out? And was it his hope that you would have that emotion as a result? Or are we just giving him a lot more credit here than he's due?
No, he definitely intended it. Fortunately, he left us more than 7,000 pages of notebooks. So while he's doing Salvador Mundi, he's doing a notebook pages on perspective and how things look at a distance. And he has a section called sharpness perspective or acuity perspective, and how if you want to make something look closer, you draw it with more sharp lines. And likewise, the whole notion of optics, it's all in his notebooks. And the fact that he uses dozens, sometimes more than 100 layers of tiny brushstroke, you know, as he tries to make it so that the smile is mysterious, elusive, just like the Mona Lisa painted around the same time. This is very conscious by Leonardo. He even tells us that we should carry our own notebooks around with us when we go around town so that when we see an interesting face, we can sketch it and try to imagine how the inner emotions of that person are reflected in the facial expressions. So Leonardo was very conscious of all this, and he even gives us, you know, notes so that we know what he was thinking.
What do you think of $450 million?
I think it shows the continuing allure of Leonardo da Vinci more than any other artist, not only because he was an artist, but he was a scientist, a painter, an engineer, and an all-around person curious about everything. And that helps define his art. So it's almost as if he is, you know, like the subject of his painting, Salvador Mundi, reaching out from the ancient mysteries with his hand almost to touch us. It did, though, to be honest, kind of blow me away, because I thought they were asking about $100 million. I said, man, that's crazy. They can get $175, $200 million. This is a great painting. It didn't occur to me that it would go over $400 million.
Well, I guess it's not just the art, it's the exclusivity. They're saying that this, I never heard this or thought about this, that it's the only privately held Da Vinci in the world.
Correct, and there are really only approximately 15 finished paintings by Leonardo da Vinci. And, you know, they're in the Louvre, like the Mona Lisa, or Ginevra da Vinci is in the National Gallery. You know what I hope? I hope it was one of those wonderful, wonderful billionaires we have in Chicago, which is my favorite city, because the Art Institute of Chicago is a breathtaking museum. The new Pritzker Pavilion, all about it, and it would make it one of the destination museums in the world if somebody in Chicago bought it and decided to put it on permanent loan at the Art Institute.
We don't have a Da Vinci, huh? I mean, I'm stunned that there's only 15 completed works in the world.
There's only one in North America that's at the National Gallery in Washington, which is an early portrait he does. And there are none in private hands. He somewhat problematically doesn't actually finish a whole lot of paintings because he's trying to build flying machines and divert rivers
right,
and do anatomy. And some art historians write, it's such a shame he squandered so much time doing math and anatomy and geology, because otherwise he would have painted more paintings. But I think that's ridiculous. If he hadn't done all of that, he wouldn't have been Leonardo da Vinci, and he probably never would have painted the Mona Lisa. Well, for that matter, Salvador Mundi, which is such a mix, such a joining of art and science and spirituality.
Well, that's the point you make at the very, very beginning of the book. You note how when he was, what was he, 35 years old or something, and he's looking for work. And so he applies to somebody. He says, you should employ me.
Because
of all of my talents. And then you list all the skills that he said he had. And at the very end, in the 11th paragraph, he said, I'm a good painter, too.
Yeah, I think that he did not make much of a distinction between being an engineer and a artist, almost like Steve Jobs, who I also wrote about and who inspired me to write about Leonardo da Vinci, because Steve Jobs and others feel sometimes that if you're going to engineer something, beauty matters. And Leonardo wanted to be thought of as more than just a painter. He wanted to be thought of as somebody who tried to know everything about all that could be known, including how we fit in to creation. And that's what Salvador Mundi is about, is the mystery of creation and the spiritual as well as scientific nature of it.
Salvador Mundi is the title of the painting that was sold to an anonymous bidder for $451 million yesterday on a phone line. Walter Isaacson's book, Leonardo da Vinci. And it's about Leonardo da Vinci. I just want to say this about your book. Your book is why books, physical books, are still so great. It's thick. The pages are a beautiful stock. The cover is terrific. The photographs of the paintings inside are worth looking at. And then what a nice opportunity for you, because you get a chance in this book, as you have for us here on the air, to really emote a little bit, to sort of take us through some of these paintings and make us see things that we would not otherwise. Certainly I would not have.
It's what makes life more enriching, just like he understood. And I want to thank you on behalf of my publisher, Simon Schuster, for giving a shout out to that, because this is about Leonardo da Vinci. And they decided it shouldn't be on sort of that sort of newsprinty-like paper that books are sometimes now done on. You should have every page be color, every page be heavy stock paper so that it can hold the reproduction. And they kept it at less than the price of most biographies, even while using the best possible paper. And every now and then, you got to do something like that, because that's what Leonardo did. He tried to make things as beautiful as possible. And I think the publisher, you know, it wasn't me who did that, but the publisher just went out of the way to get good heavy stock paper coated clear white for the illustrations throughout.
Oh, yeah, and then the writing's really good, too. Leonardo.
And you can write, Walter.
That's sweet of you to say, but I'll let you be the judge of that.
By the way, one last thing. Steve, when you were reading the book, you and I were sort of recollecting different things about his book. What stood out to you?
Well, so, Walter, you know, and we've talked before, but the idea of how you can look at a painting and see that it was from different painters working on it was something I never really understood until I started reading this book. And you say, you know, look at this particular infant as compared to this one and how it's obviously done by different painters in the same painting. I never quite got that until this book.
Well, Steve, I mean, there's a larger point there, which I tried to make too, which is that creativity can be a team sport. You know, to do something like that, it's useful to collaborate. Leonardo, when he was young, worked in a workshop where different people would help do a painting or help put the copper ball on top of the dome of the Florence Cathedral. And so a lot was done in collaboration. And even with Salvador Mundi, people are saying, well, is it totally by Leonardo? Probably not. Most things in his studio had, you know, some elements of the hands of other people who worked with him, but he would do the primary design. So it's important back then not to think of a painter going by himself to a garret and, you know, doing some masterpiece, but instead being part of a workshop with people sometimes of different, you know, backgrounds. They might be jewelers or, you know.
So more as an architect?
Artists.
So you think of the artist more as an architect than a painter?
Yeah, or more as a craftsman. If you look at a beautiful piece of furniture.
I'm sorry to hear this.
Yeah. Well, no. In the end, Leonardo became Leonardo. And certainly the Mona Lisa, and to a large extent Salvador Mundi and St. John the Baptist, his late paintings, are very much him.
I'm out of time. Walter Isaacson, the book is Leonardo da Vinci. Didn't expect we'd talk to you today. Maybe we will again later on. But well done, Walter. Thanks for your time this afternoon. I'll take 45 seconds of Brian Grano's time. He is the owner of Mickey Finn's in Libertyville. Hey, Brian, it's John. How are you?
Hi, John Williams. Brian Grano here.
Nice to talk to you again. This time tomorrow, we'll be just wrapping up our broadcast at Mickey Finn's in Libertyville.
Yep. Noon to three.
I want to try some of those home-brewed beers of yours there, my friend.
Yeah, you know, I just checked. We actually have 12 Mickey Finn's beers on tap right now, so we got a pretty good list for you.
Okay, I don't know that I'm going to try them all, so you'll have to sort of winnow it down a little for me, okay?
We can do that.
And you got special seats. We'll set up a stage there. We'll have a real good time tomorrow.
You're going to have the best seats in the house, my friend.
How many people do you guys seat over there, by the way?
I think there's about 200 seats. You'll be on a stage, and there's probably standing room for another 150 people, so it's
all
a
right.
big room.
Let's pack Mickey Finn's tomorrow, starting at noon. Steve Bertrand with the noontime business hour, then 1 to 3 with me as well. We're at Mickey Finn's tomorrow, 345 North Milwaukee in Libertyville. Hey, Brian, I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. I know you and Bertrand are pals, and I'll see you tomorrow with the whole gang, okay?
That sounds great. Look forward to seeing everybody.
Remember, you can text WGN Radio to 41444 on your cell phone and make a donation, or go to my Facebook page. I'm King John on Facebook. Text WGN Radio to 41444. Anna DeVlantis just strolled in the studio.
How you doing?
Who's that handsome bow tie bisclad young man
Look
with you?
Look at who we have with us today. It's Brian Noonan.
Always dapper for the afternoon drive.
You really
Brian,
are.
You really do look terrific.
Thank you very much. It was pink day at the elementary school I'm teaching at. So
gently, pink shirt under a red sweater with the pink and white bow tie.
What's pink day? You just wear
you know
pink?
That, right?
I do know. Yeah, I saw the
You're
colors.
Aware of that.
I picked it all out. Every week, the kindergarten has a color, so the whole school wears the color to help the kindergarten kids.
Oh, you're not making
enhance.
This up.
No,
I'm
not
making this up. So we all wear that color to help the kindergarten kids learn that color. And I was told yesterday by my first grade class that boys don't wear pink, so I had to double down. That's
attaboy,
why
attaboy. You teach
everything.
Him that.
Yeah.
What
Good
are you doing?
For you.
So what do you do with grade schools?
I am right now I'm a long-term sub for a special ed teacher in first grade.
What a lucky class of kids to have you. I'm not kidding that.
I think it goes both ways, actually. Yeah. So it's very nice.
Oh, so sweet. What are you guys doing today?
We've got a lot coming up here, John. We are going to talk about, you know, the revelations about Al Franken coming out with the radio host and the allegations about groping and being a big story today. We're going to talk to a local woman who started up the domestic violence and harassment division of the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. But now consults with companies dealing with just this issue. And she says that right now HR departments are kind of flooded with a lot of people coming forward in this climate, and they're not sure what to do and how to structure programs to make things good for business. And so she's one of the people brought in. Major League Baseball just contracted with her
really?
Help them as well.
Sarah Sanders, White House spokesperson, wanted to talk about anything but
sure.
Al Franken and Roy Moore today.
I was of waiting course. For her to bring it up.
That's all they asked about. That's all they asked about.
What about puppets? Can't we talk about puppets?
No. Puppy dogs, bunny rabbits, anything.
Pink Day in elementary schools, nothing was
coming. I'm going to get out of the way, kids. Have an excellent show.
Thank you very much, John.